Hey guys, welcome back to the channel. Welcome to another episode of Scientology's Tom Cruise Spy Files. In the last episode, we covered a series of documents going back and forth between David Miscavige and his minions in Scientology about what they're doing to spike various media stories or interviews or shows that are being done that cover Scientology or Tom Cruise. And we're going to pick up right where we left in the next series of back and forth documents between David Miscavige and these people. And these files are from over 40,000 pages of Scientology internal spy documents that were leaked. And in these files, we're covering just the ones that have to do exactly with Tom Cruise or relating to Tom Cruise in his PR matters or media, or in some cases, even his personal staff or the people that work for him in his household or in his production company. In this series of documents, there are several media stories that are being done on Tom Cruise, and David Miscavige wants to know about those, and he keeps asking, and we'll go through them, and then I'll explain a little bit what's happening. But before we do that, because there's so many various people involved in these files, we've made a little key that we show at the very beginning of each document. And I'm just going to pull that up here real quickly, and we're going to burn through these names and let you know who the key players are in this video. Scientology's Tom Cruise Spy Files key players. Of course, we have David Miscavige, fake Davey Navy. He is the chairman of the board, Religious Technology Center, and he micromanages anything and everything that has to do with Scientology. And he's actually, according to him, he's the only person in Scientology that can handle any of these things. So he does all of these things himself with whatever info he's able to round up from his minions. Then we've got Tom Cruise, matinee idol. And then we've got Shelley Miscavige. She was the chairman of the board assistant. Kurt Wieland was the watchdog committee chairman. And this is a post at the international headquarters of Scientology that is responsible for all of the different sectors of Scientology. And because this has to do with OSA, the WDC chairman is also over the other WDC members. So he would be over WDC OSA at the time, was Mike Rinder. Warren McShane, the deputy inspector general for legal affairs, Religious Technology Center, or RTC. He works directly for David Miscavige, and he is renowned for being a very, very good liar. Then we've got Mike Rinder, who at the time was WDC OSA, the watchdog committee member for the Office of Special Affairs. Oh, and in case I didn't mention it, the Office of Special Affairs, Scientology Spy Wing, they were convicted of the largest infiltration of the United States government in its history when they were known as the Guardian's Office. And then after 11 of Scientology's top officials went to prison for spying and espionage against the United States government, they changed the name of the Guardian's Office to the Office of Special Affairs. The next person we've got is Leanne Maypother. That's Tom Cruise's sister and also was his public relations at the time, or publicist, I guess you'd call it. Then we've got Michael Dovin. He is a photographer and a musician, I think, at least a photographer. I can't remember if he was a musician or not, but he was Tom Cruise's assistant, and then he became one of the executives over Odin Productions, which is Tom Cruise's production company. Then we've got Michael Mand from CAA. CAA is going to get a lot of mention in this video, and CAA is the Creative Artists Agency, arguably one of the biggest talent agencies in the world, and they manage a lot of actors and actresses and different Hollywood talent and entertainers, and they were Tom Cruise's agent at the time of these documents. Then you've got Nancy Kirkpatrick from Paramount, Brad Gray from Paramount. He was the CEO at the time. Then we've got Larise Stuckenbrock, who is the chairman of the board communicator. That's just like a person, like a secretary. Then you've got Corinne Pau, who is a Scientology spokesperson at the Office of Special Affairs. And then we have Tommy Davis, who's also a Scientology spokesperson, and he was working as Tom Cruise's assistant and handling personal matters for Tom Cruise, even though he was a C organization member. Those are one of the guys that signed the billion-year contracts. Okay, let's go to the next page. And we've got Joe Sapel from the LA Times. We've got Rob Moore from Paramount. I think he was the he was like a media and marketing guy for Paramount. You've got Kim Christensen, a reporter for the LA Times. Lee Gabler, he was the head of TV for CAA. Then you've got Shashar Baron, who is the Dateline producer. You've got Alan Marinez, who is also a Dateline senior producer. Matt Lauer, who was a TV host. Paula Wagner, she was a movie producer and also a producing partner of Tom Cruise at the time. You've got Rick Nasita, who is a CAA agent for Tom Cruise. And then we've got Jeff Zucker, who is the chairman of NBC. You've got Tori Chrisman. Tori Chrisman was a former Scientologist who was exposing Scientology on the internet at the time, and she made it into this file, as well as Jesse Prince, who was also a very well-known critic and outspoken former member of Scientology, who's done a lot of work over the past few decades to expose Scientology. And I think he actually wrote a book called The Expert Witness. Then you've got Joe Higgins, and he was a New York City Fire Department staff member who was a very vocal proponent of the detox program that Tom Cruise set up in New York City after 9/11. And it's essentially the purification, Scientology's purification rundown with the Scientologies taken out of it. And they sit in the sauna and they take vitamins and oil and they sweat for, you know, 5 hours or more a day to purify their body of toxins that they breathed in supposedly in the 9/11 rescue and recovery and rebuild efforts in New York City. And then we've got Keith Miller, who was worked at NBC News. Okay. So those are all the players. And so in the last document, we talked about how there was an episode that was going to be on with Oprah. And these documents were going back and forth. And then the last document we had, the Oprah show had aired, and a dispatch, a piece of writing was sent up to David Miscavige to let him know about that. It looks like in the midst of all of those things happening, another answer came down from David Miscavige. Even though the Oprah thing had aired, they're not talking about the Oprah thing in this episode or in this document, but they are talking about all the other media, the possible media articles that were going back and forth at the time. And so the other thing I wanted to tell you is that even though this document is dated in the actual document itself, it's dated 25th September. I can see from the info that it was actually created on the 28th of September, which is post or the same day as the Oprah thing aired. So you'll see, even though the dates are mixed up, this did take place after the last video that we did. And I'll explain that as we go. So let's get right into it. So this document is to Chairman of the Board, David Miscavige, Religious Technology Center, and is from Acting Temporary WDC OSA, which is Mike Rinder at the time. And it says 25 September 2005, and there's copies going to COB Assistant, COBCOM, WDC Chairman Kurt Wieland, and the Deputy Inspector in Legal Affairs Religious Technology Center, Warren McShane. It says, Re-Media Handlings. Dear sir, thank you for your dispatch, and I apologize for the DevT, that just means nonsense paperwork. Thank you for your dispatch, and I apologize for the DevT and just sending you ACTS, that just means acknowledgments. and for failing to acknowledge what you said about the LA Times requesting an interview with you. I know there is a standard response, and the fact is that the issue of interviews was no answered rather than slam dunked from the outset. The responses were given in regards to the request for a tour and our cooperation, quote unquote, without addressing the question of any interviews. It is clear that not to inform you of the request creates a liability of you not being in the know about things directly concerning yourself. This will not happen again. So obviously David Miscavige wrote down to him and said, nobody ever told me this guy wanted to interview me, and then asked a whole bunch of questions. And those questions are actually going to get written into this document, and they will appear in italics. So whatever is in italics is a question that David Miscavige asked in his, dispatch to, Mike. And we're going to go through that, just below here. And I love how he says, this will not happen again. It's probably going to happen in the next document. You asked specific questions and you're calm. That just means his writing is communication, which I am answering with all data below. Oh, this is a typo from Mike. It's a capital in the middle of a sentence, which I am answering with all data below, along with recommended handlings. One, and this is from David Miscavige. Tom knew zero on LA Times, and it says in parentheses, makes two of us. Real report on CAA, and that, again, that's the Creative Artist Agency. Okay, so then here's Mike's answer. I have gotten all the data on what has happened with CAA on this. Leanne, Tom Cruise's sister, Leanne says, and it says pulling strings with her today. So pulling strings is when there's some kind of flap or there's something investigation that's going on within Scientology. If you find a little piece of data that doesn't seem right or doesn't make sense, then you pull on that string. And the more you pull on that string, eventually you'll end up with the big giant secret or the information that you're looking for. I've gotten all the data on what has happened with CAA on this. Leanne says, quote, then parentheses, for pulling strings with her today, that she was really, quote unquote, keeping CAA briefed on what Paramount was doing, rather than trying to get CAA to handle. CAA was, quote unquote, getting data. Rick Nasita told Leanne that he had Michael Mand of CAA Publicity speak to Kim Christensen, the reporter. Christensen told Mand that he recently came on the entertainment beat for the business section and primarily covers Disney as a public company more so than the studio. He said that he is doing a story on the increasingly close ties between Scientology and Hollywood, and that Tom would, of course, be an important part of the story. Mand said that Christensen does not seem to have any new quote-unquote news, and that Christensen told him there is no hard deadline as they have quite a bit of research left to do. This was last Monday. That was the extent of the information he got. There have been no other contacts from CAA to the LA Times. Leanne said Rick was expecting to hear from her if Paramount didn't get anywhere and they could then take action. Quote, and then it says in parentheses, this makes no sense as there is no reason they both can't be handling this, and on to the LA Times concurrently. Okay, so this is so great because in all these documents, there's people from CAA and Leanne and Mike, and they're all talking to each other. And when Mike talks to one of these guys, he is doing it from the view of a Sea Org member. If you have information that something's going to blow up, then it's your job to put that fire out so that it doesn't blow up. These CAA guys and the Paramount guys are like, yeah, whatever, they're doing it. Who cares? And Mike and Leanne think that these guys are going to do something. And they're just like, whatever. Like, you guys are a big giant pain in our ass calling us all the time. Just let this stuff happen. Whatever. Who cares? This happens all day, every day. Anyway, okay, let's go to the next page. It says, Leanne didn't hear back from Nancy Kirkpatrick at Paramount after her first contact with Sapel. She told Leanne she was going to brief Brad Gray and have him contact the Times. Can you imagine that Scientology is asking Tom Cruise's sister to call the head of Paramount and have him call the Los Angeles Times to spike some story that hasn't even been really, nothing's been worked on it yet? She told Leanne she was going to brief Brad Gray and gave him the contact, Leanne also now says that Kirkpatrick was going to have the new worldwide head of marketing and distribution at Paramount, Rob Moore, get on the lines to the LA Times. This needs to be followed up, both with Paramount and with CAA, to get them on the lines for real instead of just collecting data. I can brief Michael Dovin so he can immediately contact Paramount to find out what happened and then speak to Rick Nasita and get CAA activated with whatever lines they have. Okay, so that's the answer to David Miscavige's first question. Now we're going to cover the second one. Two, would Matt Lauer hold until March? And by the way, Tom thinks he's just a punk and can't believe Leanne was propitiating asking him for help. Okay, so that's directly from David Miscavige, because he's the one who talks with Tom and he's Tom's buddy. And so they just go over this stuff on the phone every day in these documents, because this is happening pretty much every day, these back and forth. And so this could have been from a conversation that he had, or him and Tom just yip-yapping. Okay, here's Mike's answer. I totally understand on Lauer. The short answer to the question is yes, this can wait until March. And then here comes the long answer. What happened is that in the phone call between Leanne and Lauer, he offered to do an interview on the set in November as part of his Where is Matt feature, something they do on the Today Show where he appears at various locations and nobody in the studio knows where he is. Leanne told him that she wasn't interested in this as she didn't want to have Katie Couric and Al Roker then making comments from the side while he isn't in the studio and has no control. He then said that he would record the show and do it when he could introduce it in the studio, and that he had gotten agreement that if this was done, then the Dateline show would be dropped. Leanne told Lauer she would get back to him. Leanne told Rick Nasita and Kevin Huvane about it, and they said they weren't interested as it would do more for Lauer than Tom, and that Dateline was a small show, and if they didn't have an interview, then there was nothing new for them. Then Lee Gabler, head of TV for CAA, spoke to Jeff Zucker, president of NBC Universal. Gabler told him that CAA wants the piece killed. Zucker said he knew about the show and that if Mr. Cruise agreed to do an interview with Lauer, Dateline could die. So these guys, everybody gets to trade. Everybody gets to negotiate. I'll do a favor for you. You do a favor for me. We'll do this show for you if you kill this show for me. All this is, this is how these guys work. This is how this entire industry works. If there's a bad media piece that's going to come out on an actor and they get heads up on it, then their people go into action and try to kill the story, or maybe they'll agree to do an interview with that network if they kill the story. And this is just like a Tuesday in Hollywood, and especially in Scientology. This is the very vanilla way they do things at Scientology. When this doesn't work, then they resort to Scientology methods of dealing with media problems. According to Zucker, the interview could be on the Today Show when the promo campaign is being done for MI3 next May, though he didn't specify the month. There was then some Q&A, that just means question and answer. There was then some Q&A with Kevin and Rick about whether they want to agree to this. They had an idea whether it would be better to just tell Zucker to go ahead with the Dateline, and they will see how it turns out, i.e. a veiled threat that if it's crap, then NBC will be blackballed. Leanne also had a discussion with Paula Wagner about it, and they agreed between themselves that it would be better to do the interview on the set rather than having to go back to the Today Show studio. But there was no final conclusion on this either. It has been left without a final decision. Zucker is the top of the org board, and he can tell Dateline to cancel the show and tell Lauer that he will be getting his interview next May, and it can be worked out how that gets done, with the interview being done at Tom's convenience. Okay, so yeah, this is pretty clear. They're just trying to negotiate. If you kill this thing, then we'll do this. Okay, here's the last question from David Miscavige to Mike. 3. Is Dateline actually a crud piece? Do we have any clue? And then Mike's answer is, the indicators it will be crud are that the original reason for wanting to do the show and contacting Leanne was the interview with Matt Lauer and the controversy that generated from it, and why Tom intensely disagrees with psychiatry. Baron Shachar, the producer, has made weird comments. He told Leanne that he could see the Scientology influence in Vanilla Sky, and on his tour of CCN, he said that although he was born Jewish, he was raised in a secular environment and doesn't believe that he is a spiritual being. Okay, now you're also going to see in some of these documents, there's a bunch of cut and paste from Mike, and you'll see that sort of in all these Scientology spy documents, that they do a lot of cut and pasting, because if you send a new dispatch up and it's smaller than the last one, then it's like you did even less work when I yelled at you for the other one that wasn't a lot of work. So they kind of, they spice it up with bits of past information. And also, if David Miscavige doesn't comment on something, sometimes the people that are filtering the things that are coming up to him will be like, you never said anything about this. And if you say, oh, I said it in the last one, you're just going to get yelled at. So you just put it in there. Make sure you put it in there just in case. Cover your ass. CYA. That's actually should be the Scientology abbreviation. Or maybe even CAA could just be called CYA. Okay. Twice, Baron has mentioned that there are former disgruntled members looking for a stage to talk, and that in any interviews, they would have to ask some tough questions. In mid-August, Jesse Prince told someone that Dateline had asked him to do an interview, but he had declined. Tori Bazazian, that's Tori Christman, also told someone that she had been in contact with NBC around the same time. Now, this is very interesting because they're talking about conversations that two former Scientologists have had with people, because they have spies that are with these people or that are talking to these people, or they're monitoring internet chats or anything that this person's saying or doing. Scientology is keeping track of it. And then when something comes up about Dateline, there you'll see in some of these documents, they carbon copy what's called data RTC or data CMO int. That is a data files system that if anything related to, depending on what you put after data files, it will go to that echelon's database. So if you say data RTC, if you search Dateline in all available data files, then anyone who's ever talked about Dateline will show up in those files, and then they can compile it into one of these reports. So obviously they have some intel on Jesse Prince and Tori Christman. Bazazian was her married name. They have some kind of intel that they've also put into this so that he could spice up this Dateline piece and the info on here. Okay, Tori Bazazian also told someone that she had been in contact with NBC at around the same time, but has not mentioned it since. Also in mid-August, Keith Miller reported that the press officer for the New York Fire Department gave Joe Higgins a heads up that Dateline was preparing to do something that included, quote unquote, a slam on the detox program. He didn't give any other specifics. Alan Marionez, Mike Wallace's producer at 60 Minutes, is the senior producer on the piece. These matters can be handled, and I will do the following. 1. Call Dovin and brief him on the LA Times and get him to call Paramount and CAA and get the latest data on what has happened. He has lines to these people. And then propose a complete handling for this. I wanted to clear contacting Dovin before doing so. Because Dovin is in Tom Cruise's camp, you can't talk to anybody in Tom Cruise's camp without asking permission from David Miscavige. David Miscavige is essentially Tom Cruise's Scientology handler now. 2, I will give Dovin all the data on Dateline as above so he can put together a proposal to Tom and have CAA agree with Zucker that he will do an interview on MI3 as part of the promotion tour to be arranged at his convenience and that they drop the Dateline story altogether. This is okay. Much love, Mike. Okay, so he sends up one of the documents that we covered a few days ago. The Oprah thing happens. Dave Miscavige answers all of this without even speaking about the Oprah thing. And then Mike answers. Okay, and then David Miscavige writes back down asking these specific questions that there wasn't any information in the document that Mike sent up. Okay. So now we're going to go to the next document. And this is dated the same day in the actual file creation. But it's dated 27 September, which we know is not the case because the Oprah answer was, I think it was 28 or whatever day it was. And this document has part of that Oprah dispatch in it as well. So let's get right into it. It says, confidential, COB, Chairman of the Board, Religious Technology Center, that's David Miscavige, from Mike, WDC OSA, 27 September 2005, copies going to COB Assistant, COB Comm, WDC Chairman Kurt Wieland, and DIG Legal Affairs. Media Handlings, dear sir. Thank you for your calm. Another communication. So now another communications come down from David Miscavige. And this one is even more crazy than the last one. We're going to do it. Thank you for your calm. I understand my analysis and handlings are wrong and that I am in treason and smearing things all over the org board. I did study the policies on executives who will not complete or confront a cycle. It is a suppressive dramatization. I am applying the conditions and I have stopped this dramatization. Okay, so like I said before, when you're answering David Miscavige and he's pointed out your shortfalls, the very first thing you have to do in a written communication to him is acknowledge all of your shortcomings. And obviously David Miscavige has assigned him treason. That is what is in Scientology called a lower condition. And it's basically the first stage, one of the first levels of punishment that occurs in Scientology. You might get a little hand slap, and if you still do something bad, you get assigned lowered conditions. It's a big deal to get assigned lower conditions because the thing that comes after lowered conditions is what is called a justice action, like a court of ethics or a committee of evidence or an SP declaration, declaring someone a suppressive person. So once you get into lower conditions, that means shit's getting real. Okay, and then this is another crazy thing, and I'll read it, and then I'll double back and explain what this means. Concerning the ethics book, no, sir, I did not just wait until yesterday to do anything on this after seeing your comms. I had gotten the original manuscript and gone through the book and edited it newly and gave this to the R Comps Sec. That means the L. Ron Hubbard's compilations secretary. And that's the person that creates the digital manuscripts that turn into books for Scientology. I had gotten the original manuscript and gone through the book and edited it newly and gave this to the R-Comp Sec, along with an analysis I did based on a consistency check. This was 10 days ago. Naturally, she was reluctant to use what I had done because I got no product the first time, so she was doing her own review and edit. I didn't get it to a product, and that is the bottom line. So I don't think you were picking on me at all. And that picking on me is in quotes. I'm going through everything that I had done and what Corey, that's just another compilations Sea Org member, and what Corey had done to ensure there is nothing inconsistent. This is not a complete complex handling with a huge number of edits and changes to get this to a product. Okay, now these are the two most amazing paragraphs. And if you're a Scientologist and you're watching this, this is reality in Scientology. So in the above paragraph, David Miscavige is saying that Mike Rinder isn't treason. So that means he's not applying the Scientology ethics policies, and he went into lower conditions instead of going into higher conditions. Okay, that's what the first paragraph is. The next paragraph is David Miscavige asking Mike if he'd finished editing the ethics book, which is the book on Scientology ethics procedures. You've got to be kidding me. This is reality, folks. Now, you might ask, why is the head or the executive in at International Scientology Management, who is responsible for managing the Office of Special Affairs, which is the spy and PR wing of Scientology, why is he editing the ethics book? Well, that's because the people that were editing the ethics book couldn't do it anymore, or David Miscavige had deemed them unqualified, or one of the guys actually escaped. And he escaped from the property and never returned to the Sea Organization ever again for the rest of his life. So you have you have this thing that happens in the International Headquarters of Scientology, which anyone who's willing and able to carry on a discussion with David Miscavige will essentially be promoted to the top ranks of Scientology, because when David Miscavige yells at people and they start crying or they get mad or they escape the Sea Org or any of these other things, they're not going to stay in that position and keep doing that with David Miscavige. And so you have people like Mike, who's editing books part of the day, writing event speeches for David Miscavige, and then also having to do this thing where he manages the Office of Special Affairs. And you wonder why none of these things are being done with any amount of quality. It's a very, very random, completely chaotic environment that happens at Scientology International Management. And you could be the head of the Office of Special Affairs one part of your day, and you could be editing a book that L. Ron Hubbard wrote 50 years ago the next day. Okay, let's keep going. Now we're going to actually get into the media stuff. You are correct that the LA Times and Dateline are Scientology stories. I was trying to use the most powerful comm lines to deal with them, i.e. Paramount and CAA, who have the lines to the top of LA Times, and had the idea that nobody from the church should agree to cooperate, as that would make it more difficult for other lines to get the pieces canceled if we had given them anything to use. But that was a no handling, and I have canceled the idea from my universe. That's a big thing as well in Scientology. Like, if you have something in your universe that's wrong, you have to cancel that from your universe. You have to remove that from your universe so that you don't operate with that information. Concerning Dovin, I got how off the rails I was. I had thought that he had picked up the lines from Leanne to handle. I got this data from Jessica Rodriguez. Jessica Rodriguez was Tommy Davis's wife at the time. And she was also helping, being like Katie Holmes' assistant. And she's also an interrogator. That is actually how she got even involved in any of this. She was interrogating Tom Cruise's kids. She's a Scientology, what they call a sec checker, a security checker, or an interrogator. And she was interrogating and doing stuff with Tom Cruise's family members. I got this data from, and she also investigates and interrogates Tom Cruise's personal staff and production company staff. I had thought that he had picked up the lines from Leanne to handle. I got this data from Jessica Rodriguez, as I had tried to call Leanne to get the data on Dateline and LA Times to answer your last comm, and she called me back and gave me the data about Dovin. I do understand that this is the wrong line. I have covered the proposed handlings, and I want to go forward with in the CSW below. CSW is completed staff work. That's just an internal Scientology format for getting something approved by David Miscavige, or in fact by any executive in Scientology. Situation: coordinated on policy handlings are needed for three major media cycles. Data. Dateline. The handling for this is covered in the CSW I have written to give to Mr. Cruz, attached, that briefly summarizes the data and recommends how to proceed by having CAA contact Zucker and tell them to cancel the Dateline, and that Mr. Cruz will do an interview with the Today Show at his convenience when he does his press campaign for MI3 next year. LA Times. I have worked out the handling for the LA Times story, which ends the delay posture and puts us at cause. This handling can move forward regardless of anything else being done, though I am proposing first that when I call Mr. Cruz to inform him of the proposal on Dateline, I also brief him that there were actions that were supposed to be taken by Paramount with Brad Gray or Rob Moore calling, and that I plan to call Nancy Kirkpatrick to get updated before I take any action. Kirkpatrick told Leanne this data last Tuesday, and there has been no update since then. That I will tell her that I deal with the media in the church, that the LA Times have been contacting us, and that Leanne had said these calls were going to be made, and I wanted to find out what had happened. I will also call Rick Nasita at CAA, that's the Tom Cruise's agent at CAA, and find out if he has any other data. If the above is not okay, then I will proceed with the following targets on the LA Times. If there is something that modifies this handling from Paramount or CAA, I will adjust it accordingly. The reporter Kim Christensen needs to be handled, and control needs to go in at the editorial level on Joe Sapel. Sapel has not had any direct contact with the church in 15 years and is likely living in the past. Without him being handled or controlled, it will be a waste of time handling Christensen, as his story will be edited by Sapel. The objective is to get their story focused on the church's massive expansion in Los Angeles and internationally. 1. I call Kim Christensen and tell him that I want to meet with him and Joe Sapel about his story, that this is not an interview, but to discuss what they are doing and how to proceed. 2. See them at the LA Times, take Corinne Powell so it isn't two on one. Take the This Is Scientology DVD and make them watch it as the first thing, and take the opportunity to tell them directly that you don't do interviews, rarely if ever, and certainly not now. Find out who else they have talked to and what questions they are going to try to get answered. Pull strings on any black PR they have gotten. Tell them we will provide them with documents. So when he says pull strings on any black PR, so they're going to ask if, this so-and-so person said blah blah, then all Scientology are going to do, they're not going to say we don't do blah blah. They're going to put together what's called a dead agent package, or a package that has all the evil things that that person that is talking bad about Scientology, that that person's ever done or said, that most of which could be made up or exaggerated by on Scientology's end. And then they're going to give that packet to discredit the source that the LA Times have. And that's where it says, tell them we will provide them with documents. That is what that is. Put together a massive pack of materials that fills the vacuum totally on Scientology expansion, and DAs, that means dead agent, DAs every black PR line they have come up with. Send it to them as the first step. if somebody says Scientology robs the elderly, or Scientology destroys families, or any of the things that Scientology does on a daily basis, and if somebody says that, that's a former Scientologist, instead of saying we don't do that, they just attack the source and try to and work to discredit the source. They know that they steal and they break up families and they do all that. That's part of Scientology. So they can't deny that, but they can attack the source. The other thing is L. Ron Hubbard did say, you never defend an attack. You don't say, try to explain it. You attack the person back. You don't defend. It's, I think he said his exact quote was, never defend, always attack. Okay. Okay. None of these further steps will be taken without clearing them first. 4, if Christensen studies this material and shows that he is willing to actually find out what is going on, then tour him through the facilities in Los Angeles, CC, LRH Way, ABLE, HELP, World Literacy Crusade, and show him the displays and videos of org openings, VM, anti-drug campaigns, etc. This will be separately proposed based on what happens in the contacts above. So this is another thing. Scientology have all these public relations videos and document panels that they've put together, which David Miscavige is touting as being the solution to all of Scientology's problems. If we just put all the good things that we do and that we pretend to do and all these photo ops that we've created, we just show people those, then they'll let us steal and destroy families and they'll let us do all that stuff because they know how all the good stuff we're doing. And this is just nonsense, this other stuff that people are talking about. Okay, now here's where the Oprah thing that's in a separate document gets kind of copy-pasted a little bit in here, and he did edit it a little bit. So if some of this is a repeat from the last, that's why. The Oprah show with Brooke Shields aired today. Very clearly, the handlings that were done on this were ineffective and got no product. Oprah flat-out lied to JT and Kevin Huvane. JT is John Travolta. She brought the issue up of the dispute, quote unquote, with Tom Cruise right from the outset and asked Shields several questions about it, one after the other, transcript attached. She used a clip from Access Hollywood that had obviously made a deal with them, as Access Hollywood also ran a piece following up on the Oprah show that was a prepared retrospective by Billy Bush, basically taking credit for being the first interview done that began and the controversy. A copy of the Oprah tape was sent to JT and Kelly. They were outraged and disgusted. John said that he wanted to think about what to do, whether he should call Oprah and tell her what he thought, and that he was not going to be on the program again, or just to ignore her and never appear on the show ever again. And from the research that I did, the very short research, it looks as if both Tom Cruise and John Travolta appeared on the Oprah show on at least 2 separate episodes each separately after Oprah backstabbed them, according to Scientology. Odin, that's Tom Cruise's production company, got a copy of the tape to deliver to Kevin Huvane. He was totally burned by Oprah and her producer. He wasn't burned at all. Tom Cruise and Scientology got burned. Kevin Huvane doesn't give a shit about them. I want to take this up with Rick Nasita when I call him concerning the LA Times. Kevin Huvane had reportedly said that if she burned him on this, he would take action to deal with it, though it was unclear what that was. While no Scientology celebrity is going to participate, the word will go out to Kirstie and Lisa Marie about what happened via press, the President Flag Service Organization. That is there's a big giant complex of Scientology buildings in Clearwater, Florida, and that is referred to as the FSO. So the word will go out to Kirstie and Lisa Marie about what happened via the President FSO and Kelly telling them herself. Oprah needs to be forced to make up the damage. She should tour the new CCHR exhibit once it opens and then do a show that has an only allied anti-psych experts on it, Marianne Block type people, that will tell the real story of psych drugging. This is what I will tell Rick Nasita and also John Travolta. John didn't know what to say. This gives him something that is a direct thing that he can insist on and doesn't leave it that he doesn't get back to her even after she flat out lied to him. Okay. And then it says solution, Dateline. So that was all of the, there's a situation, a bunch of these things need to be coordinated. Data, that all that stuff that we just read was all the data. And now these are the solutions. And this is a total, I got to tell you, this is a total unstandard way to do what's called a completed staff work, because this is sort of like three separate completed staff works that have all been cobbled into one, which is not, there's no, that's not a thing. I think this is just Mike trying to get three approved in one. Okay. Solution, Dateline. One, I will call Mr. Cruz, brief him that I have been tracking what has occurred with Dateline, and I've written this up as to what I recommend be done, and that I will send this to him. CSW attached. Okay, we're going to read that too. LA Times. One, I brief Mr. Cruz in the call with him and then call Nancy Kirkpatrick and Rick Nasita to get any further data they have. Two, I contact Kim Christensen and set up a meeting with him and Sapel as above. And then it says, okay, and not okay. Oprah. One, get the other Scientology celebrities briefed on Oprah, specifically Kirstie and Lisa Marie. Two, get JT briefed on what to tell Oprah, that she lied to him and that she needs to make up the damage and do a show that covers the real truth about psychiatric drugs. Three, I brief Rick Nasita on this, so CAL tells Winfrey the same thing. Okay, not okay. And then it says, this is okay. Much love, Mike. Okay, now let's go to the next. This is a CSW to Tom Cruise. Or is it? Yeah. Well, let's see. I don't know. He says in there, let me go back. I call Mr. Cruz, brief him what I've been tracking, what has occurred with Dateline, and have this written up to what does it recommend be done, and that I will send this to him. CSW attached. We'll see. Okay, last page. Dateline handling situation. A solution on Dateline's planned program is needed. Data. Dateline has been trying to do a program since August, originally contacting Leanne on the basis of a follow-up on the Matt Lauer Today Show and the controversy that generated from it. The producer of the piece is off the wall. He told Leanne that he could see the Scientology influence in Vanilla Sky. And when she toured him through CCN, he said he doesn't believe he's a spiritual being. Also, he mentioned this is all the same stuff. This piece is not good and he needs to be killed. Lee Gabler. Okay. This is an opportunity to bury this show. The cost of doing so is to appear on the Today Show as part of the MI3 press. By then, Barbara Walters will have run and the history with Lauer will be very old news. Solution. Instruct CAA to tell Zucker that the Dateline show dies and an interview will be done as part of the MI3 media when the film is released next year, that the time and location will be at your convenience. Yeah, so this is a CSW to Tom Cruise from a Sea Org member is now CSWing Tom Cruise on what he's going to do. This is craziness. I've never even seen something like this. It's usually the celebrities are below the Sea Org members. Mike Rinder is literally doing a CSW to Tom Cruise, a civilian Scientologist. A solution. Instruct CAA to tell Zucker that the Dateline show dies and an interview will be done as part of the MI3 media when the film is released next year, that the time and location will be at your convenience, not necessarily in studio, and that it will be on the subject of the movie. It will be no longer than 30 minutes. Approved, disapproved. Wow, this is so crazy. These documents are crazy, people. Even to assign a former Sea Organization member, myself, who was in the international headquarters for 15 years, this is insanity. All of this stuff is insanity. Okay, and then the last page is it's the transcript of the Oprah interview with Brooke Shields. The thing about it, when I was reading it the other day, it has the whole thing is pretty much about Tom Cruise until the very end, but they stopped transcribing the interview where it says she starts talking about doing a Chicago in London. And then it just says no further discussion of Tom Cruise. So the interview might have been a little bit longer. They just didn't transcribe it or include it as part of a document. So I've just put that up just so you guys can see those, these few pages, like three pages of the transcript of the, if you want to pause that, you can see what they said, but you can also just probably Google the interview. So, wow, guys. So you've got David Miscavige. And now this is another thing that should be very clear to Scientologists that are watching this channel and are reading and watching all these files about what happens in Scientology. This is every day these are going. This is all these documents and the research that had to go into these and the phone calls. This is just about Tom Cruise and Scientology being lit up in the media. And this is all the time and effort that's being spent on this by David Miscavige personally. He is the one who's telling people, call this guy, call that guy, do this. Hey, Tom, I just talked to this person, or we just found out this, or there's another thing coming. And now you have Sea Org members writing completed staff work, CSWs, to Tom Cruise himself on how he's going to handle his own public relations. By the way, this is all being paid for by the U.S. taxpayer, okay? Scientology is a not-for-profit organization. They're 501c3, recognized by the IRS as tax-exempt. This is what they're spending all the billions of dollars they have is on, manipulating the media and trying to trade interviews with Tom Cruise, Lisa Marie Presley, Kirstie Alley, all these guys, so that Scientology won't expose them. Now, as I've said before, this is a normal thing in Hollywood. This is how it works. Everything is a commodity. An interview is a commodity. A bad story is a commodity. A hit piece is a commodity. These guys are all trading and sharing info and doing backroom deals to benefit their talent or benefit themselves or benefit their studio or their TV show. Everyone's trading and negotiating if they're going to screw somebody or if they're going to do an interview with them instead. And this is why, this is how Scientology has kept themselves out of the media. They use the celebrities as bait, and they use the celebrities as a bargaining chip. So when you see John Travolta on Oprah and you see Scientology celebrities doing these interviews, no, they probably had some stories killed for them to end up there. This is how Scientology does this. There's no way, if you do a bad interview, then you get what they said, NBC's going to get blackballed. So if you do a bad interview or you do a hit piece on Scientology, then Tom Cruise is not going to give your station or your show or whatever it is. He's not going to give you an interview when he comes out with his next movie. That's how they get viewers. That's how they get clicks. This is all being done for profit. It's all about the money. At the end of the day, it's about money. And this is an excellent set of documents, just as far as getting a peek into the insanity that is the international management of Scientology. You've got the top guy, David Miscavige. He is writing about all this stuff and going into the excruciating detail on who talked to who and all this other good stuff. Meanwhile, he's got Scientology films that he's doing this with, Scientology lectures that he's doing this with, the production studios at Golden Era Productions, the production studios at the Scientology Media Productions in Los Angeles. David Miscavige is just churning up stuff all day long himself. He will not delegate any of this to anybody. He's the main guy. So when people ask, oh, what do you think is going to happen when if David Miscavige, is he going to have a successor? Is he going to? No. Nobody wants to do any of this. This is all David Miscavige. He is the one driving Scientology onto the rocks right now. They do have a lot of money, but they don't have a lot of members. Their membership is dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, and it has been since the 80s after Hubbard passed away and David Miscavige took over the joint. They have been declining steadily since L. Ron Hubbard left in terms of membership, but David Miscavige is so hyper-focused on making money and getting money from Scientologists that they have up to $3 billion now. And also fair gaming and messing with the IRS to get tax exemption was his greatest accomplishment because they can do all this tax-free now. So that's the Spy Files for today. Don't forget to subscribe and like below. We've put links in the description to any of the other things we covered today. Also to the BFG merch store and stuff like that if you guys want to pick up anything to support the channel. Thank you very much. Thanks for getting it all the way to the end here. And we will see you on the next one. Until next time.